Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am with Alex McCurdy, who is with Utah State University. Alex, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, Alex, I know you're a member of Next Generation Scientists, and here you're actually talking about some of the research you're doing. You and actually some of your fellow students in your lab are here. But specifically, now let me start off by asking you, how did you get interested in biodiesel and in renewable fuels?
Well, originally for a senior research project, originally at the University of Indianapolis, so that's where I did my undergrad, I did a little work with microalgae and, you know, how to really get the organism to grow well and to produce lipid for biofuel production. So when I was kind of going out, I wanted to go to graduate school. I knew that to get my PhD in biochemistry. So when I went to different graduate schools, I happened to go to Utah State. And I wasn't even that familiar with what they were working on, but when I talked to my now professor, Dr. Lance Seafelt, I felt really inclined to get involved in biofuels, specifically biodiesel production, because I really thought it had a future. And I know that there is much interest in, you know, generating separate alternative feedstocks for production of biodiesel. So I knew I wanted to get involved, and so I decided to join that lab specifically over the other graduate schools I had visited.
So Alex, you're there. You're working on your advanced degree. And so tell me a little bit about the project that you've been focusing on.
So this project here I'm presenting is biodiesel from microalgae, yeast, and bacteria, engine performance, and exhaust emissions. So when we first started this program, before I ever even joined about 7 years ago, we wanted to figure out how to make biofuels for microorganisms. So we first started with microalgae, but then we kind of diversified ourselves a little bit to work with yeast and bacteria as well. So what we did is we developed a process for making biodiesel from these microbes, the actual dry biomass. And so we wanted to figure out that if that biodiesel that we're producing, how does it, you know, what are the characteristics of that fuel, and, you know, how would it actually perform in an engine? So we did some ASTM tests, but really what we wanted to do was something that really no one had really done before, which is actually to put it in a diesel test engine and see actually how that microbial biodiesel performed in the engine. So we measured a few things. We first looked at fuel quality. So we're specifically focusing on yeast, bacteria, and microalgae, and we wanted to compare those to, say, soybean biodiesel that you get at the pump. And first we looked at the fatty acid profile, so that's like the type of oil that these microbes are producing. And we chose these very different types of microbes because they have these very different fatty acid profiles. And we wanted to see how that would correspond to the effect on the engine when it's actually using that as its fuel. So that's what we did. And we looked at it and we saw that with the fuel performance, the diesel engine power output and the torque output are nearly identical. So the idea is that this fuel that we're producing from an alternative feedstock works just as well as what biodiesel produced from soybeans does. And we also looked at the emissions too. And it's pretty similar to what soybean biodiesel would do. But one thing that really stuck out to us is that the NOx emissions for microalgae, specifically Ketosis gracilis, that biodiesel actually had a lower NOx output than any of the other microbial biofuels or soybean or even petroleum diesel fuel. And that's something that had never been shown in literature before. Usually NOx emissions are actually quite higher for biodiesel fuel. So this was something completely novel that we wanted to show and emphasize a little bit too. And this comes back to, again, these different fatty acid profiles and specifically its profile. So really what we're seeing is that you can actually select certain microbes that have those particular profiles and then use those to make these superior fuels.
So Alex, I think, you know, for a lot of people you're talking about the NOx emissions and one of the concerns about some of the, I guess we could call it the more traditional forms of biodiesel. You mentioned soy biodiesel increased NOx, but maybe we should put into context what the problem with NOx is. You know, why is that something that we need to not only lower, you know, to lower, I guess?
So NOx predominantly is nitrogen dioxide, so it's really a health hazard itself. And it's something that's, when you look at the emissions and the different particles that you're getting from emissions, really NOx is one of the nastier ones. So the fact that we are showing that it's actually lower shows the real strength of using these microbes for biodiesel production.
So Alex, what's your next step? I mean, you've shown some initial testing, never been before seen in the literature. Do you plan on continuing this research a little bit further, or what are you thinking?
Yes, definitely I'd like to continue this work. It's almost a kind of a capstone if you look at it, because we went through the whole process of how do we grow these microbes, how do we stress them to produce oils, and then what do we do with that oil? We make fuel out of it, and then we actually looked at how that fuel performs. So we've done quite a bit. There's a few other details we'd like to work out, which is, you know, how do these meet ASTM standards? You know, how good of quality is this fuel specifically? So we know that it works in an engine, but really, you know, the gritty detail of, you know, the fuel and its characteristics. But recently, kind of in addition to this, we've started a project where we are using our microbial biodiesel fuel, and we're actually using it to run a diesel streamliner down at the Bonneville Salt Flats. So you'll get a second here to talk to Mike Morgan on that. So we showed that we can actually run it in the diesel engine. Then we take it a step further and say, okay, let's actually set a record with this biodiesel fuel. So that's pretty cool in addition to that. So that's an ongoing project at Utah State University, working with chemists, biochemists to make the fuel, and then the engineering group to actually work on aerodynamics and the drivetrain and everything for the actual streamliner to actually set records. So that's really cool.
So Alex, how much longer do you have until you're going to receive your PhD?
I've got 2 years yet.
So. All right, so we need to encourage some funding here so you can get this into the next phase in the next 2 years, don't we?
Absolutely. We're working on a lot of great projects at Utah State University, and I think that it really shows promise. So there's a lot of people commercializing, but we're really, as we're chemists and biochemists, we like to look at the detail and figure out how do we make this economical, and we've been working on that really hard. And we've done some techno-economic analysis, and we're showing that when we can do this from yeast using waste from cheese dairy processing plants, we can actually make this biodiesel for about $7 a gallon. So we're getting the cost down pretty low, and some of these other guys with me are working on how to get that price even lower yet. So funding definitely will be fruitful.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Alex.
Okay, thank you.